Here he is, singing Young Girl. Let's hear it for Gary Puckett.
The upcoming rock blog will feature limited commercial interruptions, but also unrestricted language and older adult content. Put the kiddies to bed and flip your platters to the B-side for tonight's one song each.
One, hit me baby one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second episode of One Song Each, Side B. In this episode, we'll be having a conversation with three different people, although it's two because I am one of them. So this is Paquita Trotamundos, and I'll be telling a story and telling about one of my favorite songs. And then we also have two other very interesting characters that they're going to be talking about their songs. Dr. Ange and Old Dude.
This is the Nightlight Show on WBZ.
This song will just be short and sweet. What we got to sing about just can't be beat. No need to build a story out of there.
The weatherman has told us
it's gonna be fair.
It's going to be lovely, you may as well know that now, and it's about 46 degrees in Boston, he says, for Boston and vicinity. And listen here, this is yours truly, WBZ, the Group W station, Westinghouse, broadcasting for Boston.
The Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love was composed by Paul McCartney under the pressure of following up the first U.S. number one hit, I Want to Hold Your Hand. By the time it was released in 1964, it was their third number one U.S. hit after She Loves You. Combined with Please Please Me and Twist and Shout, the Beatles held up of the top five chart position at this time. Can't Buy Me Love commanded the top spot for 4 weeks and held a Billboard record for fastest short leap until 1991. Rolling Stone magazine ranked Can't Buy Me Love at number 295 on his list of the 500 greatest songs of all times.
This is Dr. Ange, and I'm here to do an episode of One Song, and my song is going to be Can't Buy Me Love by the Beatles. And I'll tell you, I'm not the hugest Beatles fan in the world, but I am a huge movie fan. And the reason why I picked Can't Buy Me Love is because it was on the soundtrack to the movie Can't Buy Me Love, which came out in 1987, in which a very young Patrick Dempsey plays a complete nerd who is trying to get into the popular crowd and so ends up paying the most popular girl in school to date him in an effort to sort of become popular that way. I have a story that is somewhat similar to that, but in my mind always is close enough that when I think about this particular summer in my life, it reminds me of that movie and this song. So I was a huge nerd, obviously, and I was very good at math, like most nerds are. I worked at a movie theater. I was a high school senior. I was about to go into college. There was a college junior working at the movie theater who was this tall, willowy blonde, originally from Georgia, who had this beautiful face and beautiful personality and wonderful southern drawl. She kept talking about how she needed to take calculus to get her degree in college and she could never pass it. She had already taken it twice in college and failed it, and she had taken it once in summer school and had failed it. And she just needed to pass this so that she could get her degree. At the beginning of that summer, she was going to take it locally in summer school at one of the colleges, and this greaseball guy who clearly didn't know calculus was like, "Why don't we meet and I'll tutor you?" And I looked at it and I'm like, "Oh my God, this is crazy." Ultimately, she fails again because this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And so I actually stepped up and said, "Well, you know what? I could tutor you because I actually know calculus." This was my way, I thought, of like the nerd guy getting close to the popular girl through kind of nerdy stuff. So she says, "How about we do something different? How about instead of tutoring me, you take the class, and then this way I can pass calculus that way." And I had assumed that what she meant was that she would take the class and I would take the class and we would do the homework together and we would take the test together and it would be like built-in class tutoring that way. So I said, perfect. I actually took a calculus class during a summer that I didn't need to take a calculus class in hopes of becoming this girl who was way out of my league, becoming her boyfriend. So I show up to the first date of class, and it turns out that she didn't mean take the class with her. She meant take the class for her. So I arrive, and her first name was one of those ones that can be either a male or a female name, and I'm enlisted in the class as her. I ultimately take the class as her because this name could be male, and nobody really followed up on that sort of stuff. It's four tests over the course of the summer, and I'm entering into the final, and I'm getting like an A plus because I know calculus. And I tell her, like, you're going to get an A. And she says, no, you can't get me an A because I've only gotten Fs. So you have to throw the final so that my overall grade will be a C. So I throw the final. Throughout this, as I'm like going to this class, I'm like, I can't believe I'm being this dumb. But she ends up saying at one point, I'm going to pay you for this. Don't worry about it. You'll be rewarded for this. And I'm still holding out hope that maybe what that means is that when it's all over, she'll be like, hey, let's go out on a date together. Let's go out to dinner together. But instead, when it's all over, she gives me this piece of crap camera that probably was like free with a magazine subscription. So I got up every morning for a month during my one summer before college to take a calculus class to try to win over a girl that nothing ever happened. And all I got was this piece of crap camera. And so what I learned is that you can't buy love. And as a result, I just had to keep moving forward until love found me naturally.
See, oh man, that's brutal. I don't want to add anything to it. It's already perfect the way that it is. The only thing I will add is that the first time you and I recorded and I told my girlfriend that I was recording with Ange, she was jealous of you. Who is this what? Ange person? Because she assumed it was an Angela. So again, it just sort of, you know, right there in the midst of that story. So there you go.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this was, I show up and I'm looking for her and it's like, you know, it's here. I realize, oh my God, this is what she meant when she said, take the class for me. So just a complete waste. Chalk it up to lessons learned.
I'll be honest with you. Ariel. She's really not that androgynous. You're taking another hit because you're like, yes, I'm
Ariel.
And yes.
I'll just add that my mom was, if not a Patrick Dempsey fan, she was at least a big fan of Can't Buy Me Love. So I've seen that movie way more times than is proper. It's actually a pretty decent flick. You learn the same life lesson that Patrick Dempsey learned. And you became Dr. McDreamy to some degree. So you have a spirit animal in Patrick Dempsey's career.
Exactly right.
Can't buy me love, love, can't buy me love. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if that makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend, if that makes you feel alright. Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love, can buy me love. Everybody tells me so.
It's 23 to go to 1 o'clock in the morning on Nightlight and WBZ in Boston. This is Dick Summer with you. Just finishing a delicious Shrewsbury. Mmm. My goodness, that's good. I got a letter here from Davenport, Iowa. And the young lady, I think, well, let me see, who is it? Susie Sontag, is that right? Anyway, the young lady said, I have a very strong radio and a big picture window on the third floor of the apartment building. At your signal the other night, I blinked off and on the lights, and wow, I went around to each window in the room, and the picture went. 12 lights went on in one of the houses around us, and 4 pair of car lights went off and on. Horns honked. Great gear. I'll try it again next week. Also dug the German version of She Loves You. I take German. Don't like it, but offer up my trials to Paul, who speaks German and Spanish and, of course, English. I have trouble speaking plain English. Oh, well, das ist der Weg it gays. Okay, if you insist. Good bit. Another note here comes from Steve Goldsmith of Mattapan, and it says, hold on to your hat. Last night I was spending a quiet evening with a girlfriend of the Blue Hills in Milton. Most fantastic thing I've ever experienced happened at approximately 12:20 a.m. at the MDC skating rink. I participated in a light blinking in which I flicked my lights on and off. To my amazement, and I swear this in a stack of funny books, no less than 16 other cars participated. I believe this must be a new record, and I am proud to be part of it. It certainly pays to go parking at the skating rink. Okay. Good enough, Steve. Thank you very much for a very nice note. The rest of the note is very, very pleasant. Okay. We'll do our flash outs again this coming Friday night during the flashbacks. And ask you again to let me know what kind of results you find, because that's kind of an interesting bit.
From Touchstone Pictures.
I want to rent you.
Rent me?
Dating the town's most fantastic girl made Ronald Miller popular.
Totally chic.
But breaking up with her made him a star.
Legendary status.
He's cute. Sweet.
Oh, ladies!
Until he realized it's not who you're with, it's who you are.
All I ever wanted to do was get close to you.
He's such a heartbreaker.
Can't Buy Me Love. Rated PG-13.
One show sneak preview tomorrow night. Check newspaper for time.
Now she cried. Yeah, that's right. I got roller concert tickets, albums, and the Bay City Roller skateboards up for grabs in just a couple of minutes. When I do, I'll be looking for caller number 9 with a phrase that pays. WRK. Oh, want to be with her night and day? Sounds a little more serious than holding hands. Hyde Park, thanks for your quickie on the phone tonight. Peter Frampton and Mike Adams at 7:37. Tomorrow with 68 RKO. WRKO. Let me know where it hurts. Whoa! Rock and roll, part 2. Gary Glitter and exciting Mike Adams at 7:42. And it's tonight. What am I talking about? Here's the lowdown on the great hoedown at Canopy Lake Park tonight, featuring New England's top C&W band, John Lincoln Wright and the Sour Mash Boys, plus the Tracktown Trotter Square Dancers. Don't miss the big show starting at 7 p.m. tonight. Plus, ride all you want from 7 to 11 p.m. for just $4.50 per person. Includes admission to the park and the Big Country Western Show. Wear a cowboy hat, partner, and you get a free return admission. It's the Big Country Western Night at Canopy Lake Park tonight from 7 to 11 p.m. Canopy Lake Park, Salem, New Hampshire. Free parking for everyone.
Gary Puckett and the Union Gaps, 1968, Solid Gold number 2 hit, Young Girl, was written by Jerry Fuller. Version of the song, sometimes involving completely different lyrics laid over the popular music, have been recorded in French, Swedish, and Hebrew. The TV show Glee recorded a mashup of Young Girl and The Police's Don't Stand So Close to Me for an episode of the first season, which itself later adapted into a porn parody called Don't Come All Over Me.
That's a song about breakup. B.J. Thomas got a couple of good ones on that too. Usually he's doing the breaking up. Young girl, get out of my mind. And see, there is meaning in that, because you know my second wife was 11 years younger than me. So I have an attachment to that song. I always liked it before. You know, it came out at a time when I was a young guy going after young girls. So then it had a different meaning. But at the time, I was struggling. Am I going to take up with this girl that's 11 years younger than me? B.J. Thomas singing that song, man. I just about say, well, you know, because I convinced, you know, she was already married, divorced. But still, I'm fucking 30. It gave me pause. It would cause me all day long to be in a grumpy mood because I heard B.J. Thomas on the radio. Anyway, we had a good time while it lasted, but she looked at me one day and she says, you're the perfect person to grow old with, and I ain't ready to grow old. So now you got two one songs. Name a song, you just got another one. And it's good. You know, we're still friends. We don't communicate all that often, but we share a daughter. During our relationship, there was no issues. It was only afterwards, and it was because there was a kid. But we even got past that and remained on talking terms pretty much throughout. And I don't regret not being married to her. She did me a favor. Bye-bye, you old fuck. She did me a favor. And at the time that happened, I was like, what was I?
How many years were you all together?
Well, you can't really count. We were more or less living married for about 6.5-7 years. I can tell you this, that the time we were living together as married, I always counted as 6 years. And no arguments. There's not too many people married that I know of that can say there was no arguments. You know, there was no arguments, no fighting, none of this fight and fuck shit. we could always talk about things. And generally, there wasn't much struggle. I mean, you know, not that we were rich and well-to-do and had no problems. It was just that this is the way it is, and we deal with it the way it is, and there's no sense in making it worse than it is by fighting about it. That's why it was such a shock when she wanted to leave. I didn't think there was anything wrong. And I'm one that pays attention to that kind of stuff. And I know that trying to convince your sister that there was some fault to it, you know, just to make themselves look better, she used stories that actually did happen. But she made it sound like there was strife because of it, and that there was not, just an issue. So, I don't know. But, yeah, if it wasn't for basically, I wished I'd listened to BJ. I should have just listened to BJ and tried to find a way around it. I mean, it helped me get out of my first marriage and, I guess, make the transition. And but the truth is, I can't say that I owe my first wife some kind of debt of gratitude, because personally, I haven't seen her in 18 years, and I view that as a true blessing. But I can say that after every marriage, I come away a little bit better for it. Probably either because I was a little bit wiser and would never make that mistake again, or because there was lessons learned. But you know how successful my third marriage was. So in my case, third was the charm. I'm a much more stable person than I was in my 30s, especially my early 30s. When I was your age, I certainly was much more stable than I was when 10 years previous, say. So, but anyway, there's two for you.
With all the charms of a woman, you've kept the secret of your youth. You led me to believe you're only love to give me love, and now it hurts to know the truth. Oh, young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl, you're much too young, girl.
My song for this second episode of the B-track is Just in Time by Nina Simone. I never knew anything about Nina Simone, and that's kind of like a bad thing about me too, is that I like individual songs, and I'm pretty ignorant about the artist and when it was released. For those who doesn't know, my taste in music is weird. I don't have like a distinct music taste, although, you know, my 90s and 80s Mexican rock bands, that kind of like by default, the ones that I always listen to because I grew up on those. But beyond that, it's pretty much my range is all over the place. Basically, in my life, if I hear a song and I just like the song, I don't really pay attention who the artist who's singing it. I just, if I like the song, I just downloaded it and put it on my playlist. Mostly, I like the songs and movies. I love watching movies. I like the same as my songs. I like movies all over the place. I like foreign films, independent films, Hollywood films, not too much, but I still watch them. This song is featuring one of my top three favorite movies called Before Sunset. I can watch that movie over and over again, but I have to be in a certain space of mind to watch it. I think I've seen it more than 20, 30 times since I saw it the first time in early 2000s. It's part of the Before trilogy, Before Sunrise, that's set on the 90s. And then you go into Before Sunset, that's early 2000. And then you go Before Midnight, that's 2010s. These movies follow a couple that is like on the first movie, they only met in a train in Vienna, and they just get out of the train and just spend the whole evening, and they just go through the whole motion of get to know each other. And at the end of the movie, they feel that it was a connection to them. They decided, as young and stupid love, they decided that they didn't want to exchange any phone numbers or any information, but it was decided that after 6 months, they were going to see each other other at the same train station, and the movie just cuts. That was the end of the movie. 9 years later, they decided to make a second part of this movie, Before Sunset, for which is my favorite movie. And it's about following those two guys, because you don't know that if they go to Vienna again that winter or not. So you don't know anything. So it's about them meeting in Paris, because they didn't go in Vienna that winter. It just starts by Jesse, the main character on the movie, giving one of his book lecture, because he wrote a book about that first night in Vienna, and he sees the girl. When I try to describe to people about this movie, they always end up looking at me like, and you like this movie because I just tell them, like, it's seriously, it's two people just walking on the street of Paris and just talking. Like, that's it. That is the whole movie. But to me, it's just an amazing movie. It just feels right. The chemistry between those guys, everything, it seems that you are watching a movie, but you're not even watching a movie. You might be watching two strangers. You can actually feel that happening if you meet somebody. It's like when Frank and I met. We met one night around 8 p.m. We started talking. I mean, random talk about everything, about movies. And that's one of the funny things, is that we brought up that movie because he loves movies. I love movies. And one of, we didn't have that many in common movie in our collection, except for that one, for that movie. We end up talking about movies, about his life, about my life, just random conversation. And that's how this movie feels like. This song comes out at the end of the movie. And once again, they leave you with the cliffhanger. When I first saw the movie, it was like, oh, that was a cool song, but I didn't pay too much attention to it because I was so intense into the what was happening on the scene itself. And so this song, as long as I see the movie, I keep hearing this song over and over again, and now it's becoming one of my favorite songs. I think I would put it very, very top 5, top 10 of my songs. Well, let me do a little bit of research. In the movie itself, they actually talk a little bit about Nina Simone.
Did you ever see Nina Simone in concert?
No, I never did. I can't believe she's gone.
I know, it's so sad.
Unfortunately, I do not know many songs of hers. That's kind of like the bad thing about me. I just know one song and I just keep with it until I listen another Nina Simone song and other movies. I just have the feel that if I listen to other songs, I will not like them as much as this one. So I'll lose interest a little bit. So I just want to keep it that pure.
One of the movies that featured Nina Simone prominently, and the first time I ever heard her name, was Point of No Return, which was the American remake of La Femme Nikita.
Want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad.
While the lead character played by Bridget Fonda is trying to seduce her handler in this government program, she's asking for that song to be played. There's a discussion about the inherent innuendo of put a little sugar in my bowl. So I never really forgot that.
The main character, the girl, actually were able to go to one of the concerts. When I first thought about it, it's like, okay, well, she probably went to one of the concerts when she was in the U.S. I'm talking about in the movie-wise. But then when I was reading more about Nina Simone, I start realizing that this singer actually was extremely big, extremely important into like different aspects. Like, she was an amazing singer. She played the piano, attended, I think it was a semester or a course, like a summer class in Juilliard. And she actually was a very big activist on the black, on the civil rights of the 60s. She actually changed her name to Nina Simone because she was afraid that her family was afraid of playing the devil song, because I think her mom was the actual minister of a church. So yeah, she has those. It was one story in Wikipedia that I thought it was pretty cool, that one of her first concerts, it was like a piano concert that she gave in like in a public school or like in church. Her family, mom, dad, and brothers and sister were sitting on the first row, and the people at the church told them that they have to move back because they're African American. And so she refused refuse to play and refuse to give performance until her family doesn't sit in the front of the stage. And that's what she realized at the early age, that yeah, it's like a fucked up world. She gave concerts in Paris and some other important cities in Europe and pretty much all over the world.
African-American performers have a history of doing much better in places like Paris. Going back to Josephine Baker in, I believe, the 20s and 30s, when Eartha Kitt was banished from the United States after her tiff with Lyndon Johnson, she ended up in France.
Okay. And this song plays in the movie, the lyric. It goes that just in time to show that this person just show up in somebody's life when that person was lost, when this person that pretty much give up either hope of life or hope of love, that person just felt lost and that's it, like, meh, I give up in life. He meets this person and she just telling that person, you just arrived to my life. Everything is better. Everything just feels right. So I can have a second connection to that song. I can relate a little bit because I feel that's how I feel about Frank. Before he show up in my life, I was already oblivious to everything, kind of like love. Eh, who cares? That's for a previous relationship that I was kind of already like, eh, that's it. I give up on this romantic idea of like fairy tales and pixie dust and all that. So I'm just kind of went like very cynic about it. And I met Frank and we just pretty much connect. And now every time I watch the movie or I hear the song, the first person that comes into my mind is him and how grateful I am that he's in my life and how he pretty much arrived on it just in time. Actually, I've been meaning for a long time to download more of her songs. I think I will do it in the near future, but as of now, I like Just in Time and I just perfectly okay with playing over and over and over again, and it just always makes me feel very, very good.
Just in time, you found me just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost, the losing dice were tossed. My bridges all were crossed, nowhere to go. Now you're here, and I know where I'm going. No more doubt or fear. Found my way, click, 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 click.
The following people acknowledges on Facebook: Pat Sampson, Ally Bats. And now the Twitter roll call: Ally Bats, Ange, Bat, Bone Dragon Comics, Brody Kitchen, Chris at Bat Book for Beginners, Comic Book Vault, DS and RS, David Golding Studios, Dr. G Nerdiologist, Dragon Sexy Robots and Adventure Podcast, Gore Talton, Grateful Dalek, Eyes and the Face, Illegal Machine, It Is Plastic Man, Jared Albrecht, The Yard Sale Artist, Joe Crawford, Keith G. Baker, Kevin Dagi, Chris Datos, Longbox Crusade, Marvel Superhero Secret Wars and Beyond Podcast, Max Romero, The Namor Podcast, Odd Dad Out, Pat Dillon, Professor Francie, Randy Catwell, Relatively Geeky, Resurrection, and Adams Warlocks and Thanos Podcast, Ryan Daly, Sean Michael Ortega, Sean McLaglen, Siskoid, Terrence Castle, Away, Trick of Talk, Unearthly Visions, When It Was Cool, Zach Sally, and now the following comments were left on the first episode of the B track. When It Was Cool wrote, awesome, can't wait to check it out. Ryan Daly, fun, different episode. Ange, love this episode, remind me of my college radio DJ days. Chris and Bat Brooks for Beginners wrote, great show, nice editing, thanks, applause. To all. Illegal Machine, would have been better if Paquita and Trump had liked My Way by Limp Bizkit. Yeah, this time I'ma let it all go out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way. My way or the highway. Key G Baker, another great episode, wonderful personal accounts. Pat Simpson wrote, Jay Jones, loved the song Choice, a favorite song of mine. Ben Folds, The Luckiest is a great song. I first heard it in the movie About Time, which it was a great movie. Once I heard it, I had to track it down. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy again this side B of One Song Each. One Song Each is a Roll Spine podcast. Any resemblance to an actual commercial endeavor is purely incidental. This is all in good fun with no money changing hands. No copyright infringement is intended with this fair use free show to the public. Drop us a line on our webpage or social media if you would like to participate in future episodes. Thank you for listening.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Baby, you are gonna miss that plane.